fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday, the 23rd day of September, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we do. I'm proud to say, begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. As of the last time I checked, still legal in California. That may change the way things are going out there with that insanity. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The proper tip of the day is to inventory, clean, lubricate, and sharpen all of your tools. You'll find some of the tools you think you have, you don't have. You'll find tools you forgot about. And you'll find you need to make a trip to the hardware store or to Harbor Freight to get replacements. That's what you'll find. We're expecting Tom Berryhill to call in any moment. When he does, we'll be talking about emergency survival communications and ham radio. I took a break from watching Tucker for a while after my wife died, but I've been back watching Tucker now for about a month or two. And I love that guy. Last night he did a segment on these hospitals and doctors that are mutilating children. I've talked a number of times about the freakish, barbaric, dangerous religion called Islam doing that to their little girls. And here we are doing it to our children with the full knowledge of the hospital administrators, the board of directors of the hospitals, the doctors and nurses, everybody. They all know what's going on in these hospitals. Mutilation of children, sexual mutilation of children. This is not acceptable. A child is a child. A child does not have the maturity to make those kinds of decisions. And they shouldn't be made on their behalf. They should not. If they want to engage in that kind of behavior, that's when they become 18 years old and they can vote. They can buy a beer. They can enter into contracts, buy and sell real estate, for example. Then if they want to mutilate their bodies, they're adults, they can do so. This needs to be stopped. I know there's various attorney generals working on this. It needs to be stopped. It needs to be stopped immediately to save our most precious commodity in our country, our most precious things we have, which is our children. We do have him with us, patiently waiting, because he's such a patient guy, because he had a teenage daughter just like myself, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with ham radio, emergency survival communications, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
I don't know how much you heard of my little introduction there, but there's a number of hospitals around the United States that are performing sexual mutilation of our children, cutting the breasts off of girls, giving puberty blockers to boys and girls, castrating boys. It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal and barbaric that these practices are taking place in this country, don't you think, sir?
Yes, John, it's crazy. Let me tell you something. I know several people that have had to go through that with their children. In one case, they endorsed it, which is just unbelievable. And in the other case, they're just appalled at the whole thing, but they were powerless to do anything. So it's just,
Wait a minute. When you say they were powerless, you're talking about the parents or the grandparents?
The parents. When their child said what they're going to do, how could they stop them? They're adults.
These were children below the age of 18?
Oh, no. These are
oh, well, it's
already
adults
over 18. Over 18. But in one case, the parents were all for it, which amazed me. And in the other case, the parents just didn't know what to do, but they were powerless to stop the young man.
Well, like I say, adults get to do what they want to do, but children should not be subjected to that by any authority. It's a mental illness, is what it is, and we treating mental illness by cutting off parts of the body is not what should be done, especially to children. Now, if an adult wants to cut off parts of their body because of their mental illness, they have a right to do so. Have their breasts removed, have their testicles removed, and engage in all these other practices related to what's called transition. But these hospitals need to be stopped. The doctors need to be stopped from performing these barbaric practices on minor children. That's what needs to happen. Tom, I was also listening to Tucker last night about the what's going on with Ukraine. Apparently, there could have been a settlement between Ukraine and Russia already, if not for United States intervention, if not for United States calling for regime change in Russia, replacement of Vladimir Putin by we don't know who. Now we're at the edge of war between United States and Russia, United States and NATO, which that's not going to have a good outcome, is it, Tom?
No, it's not. Certainly isn't.
In the meantime, us barefoot peasants, I refer to myself as a barefoot peasant here in the Ozarks, we're left with, what do we do? Well, I'm powerless to have any influence on Russia or President Biden or NATO, and I can't have any decision-making ability in that regard. What I can do is make sure that the people I care about have a chance of surviving what could happen. You know, I make my plans on what the what our avowed enemies can do, not on what they may do. And what they can do is pretty horrific, isn't it, sir?
Yes, it is, John. It's really something to pay attention to.
So these threats flying back and forth about the use of nuclear weapons, atomic weapons, is really scary. Responsible adults, I don't believe, should be engaged in such discourse, should not be engaged in making these kinds of threats. These treaties, these SALT treaties, Strategic Arms Limitation Treaties, were followed carefully and closely by the United States to eliminate our existing nuclear weapons and discontinue inventing and building new ones, while at the same time the Russians and Chinese disregarded the SALT treaties and continued to do research and build ever better nuclear weapons, to the point where they've got nuclear weapons now that make almost no radiation, making the use of them far more feasible, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, yes, it does. Yes.
And rifle grenades that have the power of a 155 howitzer shell. That's a awesome piece of artillery. We had two of them down in Mekong Delta where I was. They were self-propelled. Civilians look at them and think they're tanks. They're not tanks. They're self-propelled howitzers. And on the side of the barrels, the men had written the name for each self-propelled howitzer, Destruction 1 and Destruction 2. They can shoot a very heavy projectile, 100 pounds or more, 10-plus miles, I don't have the exact numbers here in front of me, with great precision, absolutely great precision. So us barefoot peasants, what we're left with is making sure we have a safe haven, well-stocked with food, with a proprietary source of water, I say again, a proprietary source of water, a means to defend these premises, a way to grow food, and a network of neighbors and friends that will stand together and help each other. That would be a smart thing, wouldn't it, Tom?
Well, yes, that's about the best you can do, I think, under those circumstances.
And, of course, the topic of the day for you and I on Friday mornings is radios. You need to be able to intercept and listen to all the county people, which would be the ambulance service, the firemen, the sheriff's department, various police departments in your area, even the road crews. The road crews can give valuable information also as they go about their work. You need to be able to listen to all the state emergency frequencies and federal as well. And obviously, there's some issues with encryption that may or may not be an issue wherever you might be. And of course, your local ham radio club, there's men and women who they just are dedicated to breaking through encryption and being able to listen to these various emergency first responders, don't they, Tom?
Well, they try. They're going to have a tough time cracking some of these encryption systems. I don't think they're able to do it.
Well, I know that it won't be for lack of trying. I don't know how successful they're going to be. Fire departments generally do not use encryption as a general rule. They see no need for it. Ambulance services usually do not use encryption. So there's typically going to be things you can listen to. So that's number one. Number two is being able to talk to people on your team, whether it's a 300-acre ranch or you got people you need to talk to 100 miles away or 2,000 miles away. That's where ham radio comes in, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. Ham radio is one way. You could also use GMRS type equipment. And you know, well, John, there's some newer equipment now. If you wanted to use handheld radios and extend the range with your own repeater, there are systems out there that are very, very new. But they're DMR, which is digital mobile radio. It is a digital type of setup. They can be encrypted, by the way, but it's a single frequency repeater in real time, or as close to real time as you could possibly get. It may have a tiny bit of latency, maybe, I don't know, 20 milliseconds or something, very, very minimal, and it works quite well. You don't need all of the RF networks that are normally required for a regular repeater system, no duplexers, none of that. because the thing does it all in real time by switching. It's a kind of a TDMA, so it takes the time slot and it splits it up into it receives for a time slot and puts it back out in the next time slot. It's just amazing how this works, and the one I've seen is made by Maxon USA. They're in Lenexa, Kansas, and these systems are available. They can be used on ham frequencies. They can be used on commercial frequencies. You won't be able to encrypt it on ham, but you could encrypt the transmissions on ham frequencies. I don't know the rules on GMRS. Most of the stuff on GMRS these days is analog, but I believe you can use digital. I think you can. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to, but that would allow you to encrypt the transmissions. And it's just so much easier to set up a repeater system that way. It'd be great for a farm, if you have a hobby farm or even a larger farm. It'd be a great way to set up a system.
Absolutely. Well, we have a favorite website. We have new listeners every week. I was just on with Mike Adams this week, so whatever I'm on with Mike, I always get new listeners. And their favorite website is the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Lima .org website. It's the beginning place to learn everything you need to learn about ham radio. That's what it is. So go there and get started. Now, here's what you'll be looking for. First of all, there's a locator service there to locate the nearest ham radio club. Just put in your zip code, and you'll get the location of the nearest ham radio club. That's, in my opinion, that's not optional, is it, Tom?
No, it's not.
So here's what happens when you start going to your local ham radio meetings. First of all, you'll meet men and women who've been involved with ham radio sometimes for 30 to 50 years, won't you, Tom?
Yes, that's true.
A depth of knowledge that is really can't be duplicated. A lot of times these days, your local ham radio club will help you study for your test and actually give the test right there on the premises, won't they?
Yeah, they will. They'll have their own training sessions. You can learn over a period of weeks, maybe a month at the most, and do your own study at home. And then go to the club meetings or the training sessions and learn and get ready to take that test. You'll know when you're ready because you can take online simulated tests. We start getting a passing score with the online testing sessions. Then you're ready to take the actual test upon passing. And they'll let you know right then if you passed or not. They forward that testing information to the FCC, and you'll be issued a call sign. I don't know how long it takes, maybe a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. But then you're on the air and ready to go.
Okay, we got a call on hold here. We got Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
John, hey, how y'all doing? I just wanted to comment a little bit about on your opening statement. What was going on over there was, you're right, Zelensky and Russia had come to some type of an agreement. They had been going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, Boris Johnson, if I remember correctly, he interrupted his vacation and flew to Kiev there and spoke to Zelensky. And then all of a sudden, everything was off the table. Then there was no more plans for settlement. So I don't know. It seems like to me that's pretty suspicious. I can't take sides. I'm not going to take sides as to who I believe. Is that music I'm hearing in the background?
Yeah, hold on to the break, Charlie. We're right back.
Okay.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there on my feet. Got to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back. Gentlemen, this hour is sponsored by EMP Shield with a very nice, since we're grandfathered in, my listeners are grandfathered in for a $50 discount. Each piece of equipment to protect your car, your spouse's car, the car of that youngster off to college. Charlie, you got some more comments for us, sir?
Sure, I do. Anyway, so that's what I believe that was what Deep Six, that the peace, any kind of a peace agreement or arrangement between the two. And after that, I mean, this shelling, I'm reading an article this morning from Ava Bartlett. You've probably heard of her. She's an independent journalist in Canada, and she's writing, talking about how they're continuing to use these 155 millimeter NATO shells to bomb the Donetsk region constantly. She's reporting on how 16 civilians were killed, including two children, overnight, hit by these shells. Anyway, the one I'm getting at here is, you know, the more this thing goes on, I mean, whether you believe that Russia was right to enter into the Ukraine because of the encroachment of NATO, or because of they knew those labs were in there and they wanted to take those out. Whether they were right to get into the war or not, what it continually looks to me and what it appears to me more and more is that this war is not so much about the Ukrainians and it's not so much about Russian as it is about, this is a war from coming from the Biden, Pelosi administration against basically, they're trying to get us into some kind of world war, I believe. They've been constantly down there pushing the borders down there on China, sending in submarines and stuff into the areas between Taiwan and the Taiwan Strait, encroaching on the Chinese borders. They've been constantly, and these talks that China had recently with Russia, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they're planning a world war or something. I'm not so sure it's that as much as it is they're just trying to scratch their heads together and figure out how they're going to prevent Biden administration from creating a world war between the two nations. It looks like this is really what's going on. I don't see any, it's constant. It's constant. Why is Biden sending all this money into the Ukraine? Why are we going to be sending in these new F-15 or these new F-35, whatever they call them now, military jets, who, by the way, these people down there in Ukraine can't fly them. So who's going to fly them? It's got to be American military going to be in there flying them or some kind of American contractors. It's beyond the pale, really. What I see in is that our administration, the Biden administration, the Pelosi, you know, Pelosi just the other day was over there and I can't remember, there was a breakup between Azerbaijan and another one of those countries down there. She flew in there. A lot of people don't know it, but she flew in there, was in there last week, talking to the country that was on the other side of the Russian side of this thing. To what? Offer them money to and support if they would continue the fighting to keep Russia stretched their limitations, to keep Russia involved in it? See, this is what's really going on. And as far as I can tell, they're doing it for just strictly for the betterment of the military complex or in hopes that they can create a world war so that they can make money. Because this is what I've always seen the Democrats do. I've never seen them do anything other than create wars. And world wars at that, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, all run by Democrats. You know, all of them. So and even the war on terror, which isn't a real war, but I mean, that was, of course, Republicans, but most of the major big world wars were all started by these Democrats. I don't know what's going on, but I do believe that it's not so much about Russia versus Ukraine anymore. It's about the United States, the Biden administration versus Russia and the rest of the world. Because, you know, Germany and all these other countries, they're going to follow along with whatever the United States says and NATO says. Okay, they're just going to do that. That's all they're going to. And even though the German people don't want this, a lot of them are protesting about the, over there, about the heating and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. They're going to still go ahead and do it because the United States is on the side of the Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum's types. Russia has gone against that, which is another subject, but they've gone on to their own, back their own ruble and selling their own stuff on gold. Who, by the way, they say they will sell oil and gas to anyone who will pay in ruples or gold. That means Germany too, but
sounds like,
you know,
an open
they're not
market.
Going to do it.
Open market. That's good.
Well,
Charlie, thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're bottom of the hour break. Right. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
My website is thelibertyman.com. New articles posted pretty much every day. If you want to know what's going on with COVID-19 and the COVID vaccination clot shots, more than 200 articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors. They're killing us. There's no two ways about it. They are killing us. Products that are difficult or impossible to find anywhere else. The energy cleaner. I'm picking up a fresh batch from Tom Berryhill to help people with pain issues and sleep issues. And, of course, the Liberated Rocket Heater. It will be winter before you know it. It was in the 50s here at my place this morning. You want to be warm this winter? Be cozy this winter? And save money? The Liberated Rocket Heater is the way to go. Mine will be installed right near my cold air return so that the nice warm air will be circulated throughout the house with the fan on the furnace, but not have the furnace on. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So check out the Liberated Rocket Heater at my website at thelibertyman.com. We have these stoves in stock, ready for immediate shipment. A year ago, we were running 3 months backlog at least. We're all caught up now. So check out the Liberated Rocket Heaters at thelibertyman.com. Of course, you can place your order for an engine cleaner or a mattress pad or a Liberated Rocket Heater at my toll-free order line. That's 800-592-9543. Well, Tom, I got my ham radio license the fall of 1994. I studied for it every day. I was on executive protection detail, and every time I had a break where the executive was giving a speech or not needing protection, I would be reading my study guide. I took my ham test, and I passed it, and I've had my license ever since. You've been a ham radio operator since, what, 1968, Tom? Or was it earlier than that?
Yeah, 67, 55 years.
Okay. And do you have what level of classification is your license, sir?
It's an extra class.
Extra class, that's the highest. There's only three classes now, I believe, aren't there?
Yes, there's technician, general, and extra. Now, when I got my extra class, John, I took that test in 74. You had to have a general class or higher for 2 years before you could even take the extra class test. And it was a very hard test. I have a commercial license, too. I think that extra class ham test back in the 70s was harder than the commercial test. It was very difficult. You know, the multiple choice questions, I think there was four, maybe five selections. And many of the questions on there, all the answers were right. But one of them was more right than the rest. It was really difficult. And we had to draw diagrams. I remember the one diagram I had to draw. They showed a tube-type power amplifier, and I had to draw in a neutralization capacitor and where you would draw that in. You had to insert that into the schematic, and then you had to explain what it does. So I don't think many ham operators today even know what that is. But that's how it was back in the day. And there was only about 20,000 extra class licensees back in those days nationwide.
Well, that's out of a country of as large as ours. That's a pretty small group, isn't it?
It is. I think there was about 500,000 hams total, most of them being general and advanced class. So back in those days, you had novice, technician, general, advanced, and extra. They also had a conditional license. I believe that was restricted to those that had to travel 150 miles or more to a testing site. And all the tests were administered at federal buildings by FCC examiners. So there was none of what we have today. It's except for the first license I got was a novice class, and you had to know Morse code of 5 words a minute, and I think the written test was about 25 questions, very, very basic, and that was given by another general class or higher class ham operator. So you found somebody in your local area that could check you, give you a code test, and once you pass the code test to their satisfaction, then they sent in a request to the FCC and asked for the testing materials to be sent to them, and then they got back in touch with you when they received that package, and you went back to their home and took the test right there, and then they mailed it in, and you got your license. In 67, they had computer problems that summer. I took the test in the first week of June, and I didn't get the license till the middle of August. It took that long.
Computers in those days were stacks of cardboard that had holes punched in them, weren't they?
Yeah, some of that, and they may have had magnetic tape. I don't know, probably punch card, John. It was antiquated, but they had some sort of a breakdown that summer. Those licenses were issued in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and they just could, for whatever reason, the thing was broken, and it just took forever. You know, when you're 13 years old and you're you're really waiting for that thing. Yeah, the day after I took the test, I checked the mailbox. I thought it might be there that quick. Well, that was a waste of time. Finally, I gave up. I just figured it may never come. And then it was there. But it took a while. It took quite a while. And then my first contact was in September. Well, it was this month of 1967. And that was my first on-air contact, when I finally got the equipment set up and I was ready to go. Boy, I'll tell you what, that first contact was a nerve-wracking, shaky situation. But I got pretty good at it after a while, and my code speed, I started barely 5 words a minute, you know, and then everything was Morse code, and then I got my code speed up pretty fast. Within a couple of months, you know, teenagers pick up on things quick anyway, but within a couple of months, I was at least 25 words a minute, and then I got as fast as right around 40 words a minute. I know people that can copy Morse code really, really fast, yeah, but they're getting to be a rarity nowadays. They're all dying off, and there's still interest in CW or Morse code, but not as much. That's pretty much all I do anymore, unless I'm on the VHF or UHF frequencies with a mole radio, something like that. But I've even done Morse code while driving down the road with, I think I showed you that telegraph key, John. It has a clamp, and you clip it to your leg. It's a World War II type of thing where they use them in aircraft and things like that, and it's got a telegraph key. And I used that a couple of times just to see if I could do it, and it actually worked out pretty good. And I was on Interstate 55 driving to Chicago from the St. Louis area and talked to a couple of people with Morse code while on the road.
Really? Really? So you did that while you were driving?
While I was driving. And I gave a talk at one of your meetings once, and I had that telegraph key with me. Do you remember, well, you know, our friend Joe, and
right.
His son, his teenage son, also named Joe, we call him Joey, that kid was fascinated by that key, said, I'd really like to have one of these. I said, well, you can find them. They're out there. He just kept checking out that telegraph key with the that would clamp onto right. You just put it right above your knee, and you can operate that thing. That's how they did it in the aircraft, and I guess Army tanks and whatever military vehicles. But it was pretty popular with the pilots and operators that were airborne.
I bet. Well, getting started with ham radio is easy. It doesn't cost a whole lot of money. And it's something the entire family can do, especially good for homeschoolers. So whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, you'll enjoy ham radio. And most of what children do for play is pretend to do what adults do in real life. In this case, they're not pretending. They're actually doing what adults do, aren't they?
Yes, that's true, John. They really are, and there's a lot of expertise out there with some of the older hams, and then once the young ones are on board and have their call sign and all that, these older hams are more than happy to help them come up to speed and also help them to not make the mistakes that can be quite costly that they may have made when they were younger. So it's pretty handy to have that, you know, all those extra hams hanging around and helping you to not make those mistakes. I didn't have that when I started. It would have been really well received, but I had to make all the mistakes, and some of them were rather costly. And back in those days, John, we still had tubes. All the solid-state equipment there was some, but not very much, and most everything was still tubes. And with tubes, when you made mistakes, came a lot of smoke. I smoked a lot of transformers and resistors. I even had a capacitor blow up once. So it was it was all a learning experience, though.
Well, also, we haven't talked about this for a while. You located the local television repair shop, and out behind it was a kind of a swampy area where the proprietor just discarded TVs that you located them and was able to salvage parts, weren't you?
Yes, that's true. And that was there was a swampy area there that was just all kinds of poisonous snakes hanging around. But you had to do what you had to do to get these parts. And the guy to repair those TVs, he'd take the chassis that were no good, strip off some of the parts he needed, throw them out there. Well, I wanted the power transformers and some of the bigger filter capacitors, tube sockets, things like that. And those things are kind of heavy. So what I would do is I'd wait till my younger brother did something wrong, but he didn't get caught, but I knew he did it. And I'd use that as leverage to get him to come along and bring this wagon that we had. Basically, he was like a slave, and he had to haul all these television chassis back and put them in the garage. And otherwise, I'd turn them in to parents, you know, and he'd be in big trouble. So I was able to do that back in those days, and it was really something. But boy, the parts you could get out of those old TV sets was great. It's really hard to do today with the circuit boards and everything, although you can salvage quite a few parts. Most of them are all surface mount, and it's easier to just buy new ones. And most of the equipment I make anymore is also surface mount. But there's still a lot of what they call through hole, where there's holes drilled and the wires on the parts go right through the circuit board. There's still some point-to-point wiring. And some of the ham operators that do their own building, they make things for their own designs and that. A lot of those designs still use wired-in parts, although much of it is on printed circuits. The parts have wires. And I find that the surface mount parts are a lot better, faster, and easier for the assembly. So that's what I use most of the time nowadays. But, yeah, it started back then, John. It was still tubes. In fact, I was lucky in a way to come into all of this right as things were switching over from tubes to solid state. So I was able to learn about both types of technology. And that was even in the days when they were going from kilocycles to kilohertz. And some of these pieces of equipment, the antique stuff I have, still says kilocycles and megacycles on the dials. And there was one company, though, I don't know about some of the others, but I have some Drake equipment made by R.L. Drake Company in Ohio. And that's some of my favorite antique type equipment. And they were pretty wise. They put the frequency markings on there without either, no kilohertz and no megahertz. So that way you could decide what you wanted to call it. But, yeah, a lot of transition was going on in the 1960s. But now it's all solid state. Everything's 12 volts for the most part, except the big power amplifiers. There'll be some high voltage in there. I have a couple of them that are... they're up in the 3,000-volt range, and it's real dangerous working on that type of equipment. You do need some special equipment, and you have to follow certain precautions. If you don't, you're really taking a chance, and it's just not worth it. So, some of that equipment, you have to have some skills to tinker with it. And also, John, test equipment. So many ham operators start messing with all this, and they don't have any test equipment. I always recommend a analog voltmeter and a digital voltmeter. You can buy a cheap digital voltmeter. You can also buy a cheap analog meter. They still make them, but they're really kind of junk. And I think my favorite is a Simpson 260. I have a couple of those that I use, and then I have some vacuum tube voltmeters. My favorite one is a Hewlett-Packard HP410C, and it will measure AC voltages calibrated up to 700 megahertz, and it'll measure resistors. It's a really nice meter, and kind of old technology, but it works quite well. And that's where an analog meter is very helpful if you have to tune a circuit and look for a peak reading. You can't do that readily with a digital meter, although some of them do have a bar graph display. It's just not the same as seeing that needle move around. And you'll find that most of the watt meters out there that all the ham operators want, most of them want these bird watt meters, and they have a needle on there. So they're an analog scale, and they're very popular, probably some of the most popular, if not the most popular. I do have one, but I also have some others. And then if you have to have special tools. There are some tools that are needed, crimping tools, things like that. And you need a good soldering iron. I like a solder station. I do have some larger soldering irons, 80-watt and 100-watt for soldering big antenna connectors and things like that.
That's powerful.
But most of the time you do with a solder. Yeah.
Hold on, yeah. Tom. We got a last break. Yeah. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the revs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
Tom, we got a caller on hold here. Okay, good morning, Mike.
Yeah, I've watched my dad and other old fellas
solder, and I just never have been able to pick up how to solder that well. And the stuff that I've seen here in the last few years on lead poisoning has spooked me pretty good. I mean, I just wonder, you know, is there some kind of a good video series or instructions that you've ran across that's, other than trying to find an old guru to teach you some of the tricks, I've had times where I couldn't even get the solder to stick on a wire. I'm trying to tin, you know, like speaker wire or something to keep it from fraying, and it just won't stick. You use that, the flux paste, and, you know, put it on there. Is there... do you preheat some of it to get it to stick somehow? I mean, then it melts off that flux.
The flux on electrical type work is you only use a rosin based flux. I believe the nomenclature is RMA type of flux, and it's an activated rosin. It's like Tresap basically, but you can get liquid flux. You can put it on with a little artist brush if you want it, or just, I've used some of that, and if I'm tinning stranded wires, twist all the wires together and clip the end so it's nice and flush, and then just barely dip it in there, and that flux will pull up through those twisted leads, and then when you put the heat to it. Now, here's the secret to soldering wires and things. So many people put that soldering iron on there, and it will eventually get it hot enough. Many times, by the time it gets hot enough, the solder has started to melt the insulation and things like that. I like to use a lot of heat, get in fast, and get out fast, and get the soldering done, and you'll never melt the insulation or anything like that. The trick is to have a properly sized iron. What I use is a 60-watt soldering station. You have various size tips you can put in and use the right size tip and temperature for the... I actually leave it set at around 780 degrees Fahrenheit, and then I use various tip sizes to transfer that heat. But the idea is to get a little bit of, if you're using a wire solder, get a little bit, clean the tip. I have a, this is mainly for printed circuits, but it works on wiring too. And there's, it looks like a brass Brillo pad or something, and you just wipe the tip through there, and it scrapes off any oxidation. And then you put a little bit of solder on that tip and put that to the wiring.
We are out of time. Mike, thank you. Well, top of our break, we'll be back with Dr. Pete Urocos. Stay tuned, everybody.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site.
It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.